This is Midday Magazine for Friday, April 17th. I'm Angela Denning. The Kensington Mine, located northwest of Juneau, recently announced the discovery of high-grade gold. It was found in a historic mining vein called Jualin near the active site.
You know, there's an adage in the mining industry, the best place to look for a mine is near a mine.
General Manager Wayne Zegarlik says the Kensington Mine typically produces 0.2 ounces per ton.
The Jualin material right now is modeled to be about 0.46 ounces per ton, so considerably higher gold content per ton of material.
That means the cost to produce gold at Kensington is going to be cheaper. In 2014, it was $951 to produce an ounce of gold. Coeur Mining, the company that owns Kensington, forecasts it will be about $820 per ounce in 2015. Zegarlik says it took about 2 years to find the high-grade gold in the historic Jualin site.
There's not really a breakthrough moment where everybody thinks, oh, we've had a discovery. It just sort of oozes out like toothpaste.
Zegarlik says the company doesn't plan on hiring any new employees at the location. Coeur Mining owns Kensington along with two other mines in the U.S. and internationally in Bolivia, Mexico, and Australia. Currently, the market rate for price for gold is about $1,200 per ounce. The price of Brent crude hit above $63 a barrel yesterday, the highest it's been this year. That gives Alaskans something to cheer about. But the head of the U.S. Energy Information Administration told a Senate panel yesterday two political events on the horizon would likely bring the global price down. Adam Siminski says if Iranian sanctions are removed, a lot of oil would come onto the market, and no one knows if that would be gradual or all at once. Siminski says Iran has about 30 million barrels of oil in storage, and it would likely increase its production rate if it's not facing sanctions.
So the total amount would be about a million barrels a day of production coming onto the market, and it's really hard to see right now, Senator, how that could be absorbed without causing either other production to go down or the price to go down.
Siminski was answering a question posed by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski. Senators from non-producing states tend to focus on gasoline prices. Siminski refuted the claim that allowing crude oil exports would raise the price at the American pump.
What that does suggest is if more crude oil enters the global markets, whether it's from U.S. exports or from Iran or from production anywhere, it would tend to lower the global oil price, which would tend to lower gasoline prices in the U.S.
Lifting the oil export ban is one of Murkowski's major initiatives as chairman of the Senate Energy Committee. The Juneau School District wants a special June election asking voters to approve a bond for school renovations before a law stopping state reimbursements for school construction takes effect. The governor still hasn't signed the bill, but if he does, the school district has 90 days before it becomes a law to hold an election. Even if all goes smoothly and the district beats the countdown, it's still unclear if it will get reimbursed. Lisa Fu has more from Juneau.
The Marie Drake Building was built in 1965 as a junior high school. Now it houses Yakuske Dakahiti Alternative High School, Montessori Borealis, and some district offices.
It's very difficult to teach science in a classroom that has one sink that is as old as the building, that works most of the time, but not all the time.
That's Raya Waldern. She's the science teacher at Yakuske Dakahiti, which doesn't have any lab facilities. So projects like
dissections, we do different squid and fish dissections. We also teach a really incredible forensics class where it can get pretty messy because we're doing different blood splatter analysis.
All of that is done in a normal classroom.
And my floors and the lights are original to the building. And when the students upstairs in Montessori are doing their really fun activities, our lights shake and it's very loud. And I'm glad they're having fun up there, but it can be a little distracting when we're taking notes and things like that.
Getting proper science labs for both the high school and Montessori is part of renovation plans for Marie Drake. Other improvements include the heating and ventilation system, lighting, and general updates to learning spaces. The school district would ask voters to approve about $21 million in bond debt. The district has been working on the capital improvement process for the past few years. Originally, the district planned to have it on the normal election ballot in October, but that would be too late if Senate Bill 64 becomes law. With the state currently reimbursing up to 70% of a school construction bond, Superintendent Mark Miller says a lot's at stake.
There's $14 million on the table, and if we don't get an election in the next 90 days, that $14 million is gone. I mean, it's gone forever.
The bill would stop the state's school debt reimbursement program for 5 years, at which point the program would be brought back at a lower reimbursement level. With the state facing a multi-billion dollar deficit, Miller says he understands the legislature wanting to be fiscally solvent, but he also wants to protect the Juneau School District.
The law is the law. The law is clear about when bills take effect, and we have every right to do what's legally acceptable in order to do what's best for our kids.
Elizabeth Noodleman is head of school finance and facilities for the Alaska Department of Education. She says the department hasn't received a completed application for Marie Drake debt reimbursement from the Juneau School District.
If they have their application reviewed as eligible by the department, if the voters approve the project, and if the sale of the bonds is in compliance, and the procurement and design and reporting is in compliance, then they would move through the system for reimbursement.
But Noodleman says even if the state enters into a contract with the district, nothing is guaranteed if the bill becomes law.
There's language in the contract around future events that could happen or could not happen. And any funding for construction programs, it always is based on the legislature appropriating funds. So I think that there's a lot of questions out there that really would need to be solidified to come up with a final answer.
Laura Pierre is chief of staff to Senator Anna McKinnon, co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, which sponsored the bill.
I would be very surprised if the Department of Education approved any application at this point, knowing what the legislature's intent is.
Still, Juneau Representative Sam Keto III thinks it's a smart move for the district to try to enter into a legal contract with the state.
It appears as though there will be some gray area, but any contracts entered into between now and when the bill actually takes effect should be valid.
And Keto says it'll be hard for the legislature to undermine that contract. Governor Bill Walker's press secretary says the governor is still reviewing the bill. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Competitive roller derby returns to Petersburg this weekend with two bouts hosted by Petersburg's Ragnarok Rollers. That includes the first bout in Alaska between two co-ed teams. A few guys have been skating with the women and refereeing matches against other Southeast squads. This weekend, they get their first chance at jamming and blocking with the ladies. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Rebecca Anderson, a.k.a. Midlife Tigress, head coach of the team for the past two seasons, and Brock Martin, a.k.a. Darlig Ulv, a.k.a. Bad Wolf in Norwegian. He's been involved with the team for 2.5 years and is head referee and a member of the co-ed team.
So the team is hosting a bout coming up on the 18th. Can you tell me about that? Or a couple of matches, it sounds like.
Yeah, we're excited to host our first doubleheader, and we're really excited to have the first co-ed versus co-ed game in the state of Alaska.
Okay. So the team has invited guys to play along. How is that going so far? How's the co-ed thing working?
Pretty well. We'll be a mashup team between us and Wrangell. There'll be two guys from Wrangell, and I believe myself from Petersburg on our Southeast team.
Okay, and who are you skating against?
We're going to be skating against Frozen Chosen. They're from up in the interior.
Rebecca, how's it been for you skating with the boys?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
It must change it, though, a little bit.
Well, we'll see.
Faster, slower, more violent? What?
So far, they're a little scared to hit the girls. They don't want to hurt us.
Yeah, that's true. But my personal opinion is that the girls kind of have the advantage in the sport over the men with their lower center of gravity versus ours.
And I bet some of them, or most of them, are probably better skaters than you. Or have you been skating for a while?
Yeah, all referees are on skates, and so I've been doing that for about 2.5 years, but I haven't been doing the contact portion of it, so I don't quite have that muscle memory down.
We'll show it to you, Brad.
I have no doubt.
And the team has grown over time, too, right? You've added a lot more people, I think. And
yeah, when we started with, I don't know, I think there were about a dozen people from the get-go, and then dwindled down to about six coming to practice, and then we got up to about 21 people attending practice. Now we are at an even 14 rosterable competitors for our regular women's team.
Okay. Are you almost at the point of having two teams at some point?
I would love to be. We're getting close. If we had a few more regular attendees, we could have two home teams.
Okay. And you've had a number of bouts. You had your first win ever as a program a couple months back.
Yeah.
And so you're getting pretty good at having bouts now and playing other teams.
Yeah, I mean, we're always learning new things. Mm-hmm. And the referees are a big part of our training, so it's been a boon to us. Boon's a good word, right?
It is.
So. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. It has been a boon to us to have more referees at our practices, and that gives us an advantage where they can help us with the giant book of rules and help interpret the rules and keep us playing within that frame. So that has helped us significantly.
And you've also been skating against some pretty established and dominant programs in Sitka. Have you been skating against Juno as well? Or
we've been training a little bit with Juno, and we experienced Juno at the state tournament last year, just a couple of us did. They're fantastic. So. And Sitka is really good.
Yes.
So we learned a lot by losing to them.
Well, it's a good thing there were two matches last time you had a bout here. It was pretty full. It was packed solid.
Yeah, we had to turn away about 100 people.
Yeah, so. It was pretty intense. It was neat to see everybody come out and take in the sport.
And it's good to have that home field advantage, right? Have the home crowd behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, we do like the crowd. Hearing people cheer, it's great. I don't know. You'll get to experience that the first time.
Yeah, previous experience as a referee, the louder the crowd is, the harder it is my job becomes to communicate with everybody.
But when you're a competitor and you don't want the referees calling penalties on you, it's the louder the crowd, the better.
Yeah.
Brock, you mentioned this is the first co-ed on co-ed match in Alaska. Why isn't that more common?
I just don't think a lot of guys think it'd be manly to be on roller skates and... to be honest, 3 years ago before I got involved, I don't think I would even consider competing. But now that I've learned how to skate, it's a little bit, I have a different feeling towards it, I guess.
I think there's been a lot of sexism just in general for roller derbies. Been pretty much a woman's sport in this modern day. And I think a lot of the women don't want men to play. They feel like they're going to lose their place in this sport, that men already have their own sports. But I think that this co-ed is going to be great. I mean, we're all on even par when we have skates on our feet. There's, whether you're big or small in roller derby, it doesn't matter. We've got large women and tiny women playing against each other. So it's going to be a level playing field, whether it's a man or a woman. Size doesn't matter with the skates.
The bouts are tomorrow in the high school gym. The first one starts at 4 p.m. with the co-ed bout, the Frozen Chosen against the Devil's Club co-ed team. The second bout will be women only, Wrangell's Garnet Grip Betties against the Petersburg Ragnarok Rollers. That game starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale at the door or at Skate of Gear, Rexall, and Glacier Express. Well, it is Friday, April the 17th, and that means it is time for the Stocks Report with Dan Berg. He is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Angela.
So what can you tell us about this week?
Well, this week we had a little bit of bout of nervousness that came out today. For a while today, we were down over 300 points. We ended up down about 280, but I think the Greek jitters have hit us again. It looks like they're having some real trouble getting to have a compromise regarding how the Greeks should refinance their debt in Europe. So anyway, that's been a recurring story for the last few years. Regarding economic news, we had some in the U.S. which was okay. Last month, consumer spending was up 0.9% in March, and that wasn't too bad. It reversed a fall in February from bad weather. However, there was more evidence that the U.S. dollar being too strong is hurting a little bit. The New York Empire State Manufacturing Survey was down, and so that's something that people are watching, whether or not people are having trouble competing in world markets. Over in Europe, the central bank met, and they're holding interest rates below zero. So, in other words, in Europe, if you're a bank and want to make a deposit with the central bank will charge you for the deposit, not give you any interest. That's meant to stimulate lending. We'll see how that works. And then finally, in Asia, there was a little further evidence that Chinese economy is slowing down somewhat. Their official GDP for the last quarter came in at 7% annual rate. Some folks are skeptical that that's a real number. And there was also trading curbs that were announced in the market there. There's been some real speculation in the Chinese market lately. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed down to 17,826. That was a drop of about 200 points for the week. The NASDAQ closed at 4,931, and the S&P closed down somewhat over 20 points to 2,081. The price of oil has ticked up a bit lately because of the unrest in the Middle East and the war in Yemen. Oil was up sharply in Texas to $56.15. That's a nearly $4.5 gain on the week. Gold was virtually unchanged at $1,202 for an ounce. Now, regarding the bonds, since there was some jitters about what's going on overseas, as is often the case, money came to the U.S. U.S. bond yields went a bit lower on demand. The 30-year Treasury is at 2.5%, 2.5, and the 10-year Treasury went a bit lower to 1.85%. Those are very low rates again.
What about individual stocks? Anything to report there?
Oh, quite a bit. We're in the middle of earnings season, and companies are announcing their first quarter earnings, and some of the banking heavyweights weighed in. I'll give you a couple of examples. J.P. Morgan, the largest bank in the country by sales, symbol JPM, had a good earnings report that closed at $62.84. The largest bank by market cap, by value, is Wells Fargo. WFC is the symbol. That closed at $54.05. Intel, symbol INTC, also announced earnings. That was closely watched because Intel is quite exposed to the personal computer market, which has been in some decline. However, Intel has been trying to diversify, and people took kindly to their report on their progress there. That closed at $32.47. Delta Airlines, symbol DAL, announced blowout earnings. Low oil and strong demand are helping the airline. That closed up to $44.76. And General Electric also announced. GE closed at $27.25. And then finally for Northwest stocks, Alaska Air, symbol ALK, closed at $62.97 today. And Precision Cast Parts, the major metal castings and aerospace supplier out of Portland, that closed down to $201.15 on somewhat weak earnings. And part of their earnings report mentioned their difficulty with the high U.S. dollar.
So what do you think about the short-term future, say, next week?
Well, it will be driven very much by what news we have in the Greek negotiations. If they do default, we might have a sharply lower market for at least a day or two. Here in the U.S., the news will be really dominated by earnings, how things are going. And since we're in the middle of the season, there'll be a lot of companies. IBM, Verizon, Google, and GM are among some of the notables. And then there's a bevy of Northwest companies announcing earnings, including Boeing, F5, Alaska Airlines, and Amazon.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing that information. We will check in with you again next Friday.
Yeah, thank you. Have a very good weekend.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Dan Berg. He is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington. He joins us Fridays for Stocks Report.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member of SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning.